Oh, good morning. Oh, well, I'm in the right place. What a great worship this morning, and the songs, they're just all so fitting. So God is good, isn't he? It's wonderful to stand on a platform that's been prepared for the word. Father God, we just thank you this morning that we've come into this place, Lord God, into the place you've prepared for us that we might rejoice and be glad in you. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, as you've probably noted around the place, we had a wedding yesterday and it was really lovely. Sadly, we had a lot of confetti everywhere that's still outside and it seems very hard to get rid of. I know when we got married many years ago, confetti was all the thing. There was nothing else and we had confetti everywhere. And for years after, when we pull out a case or when I'd go to hospital to have a baby, I'd have confetti everywhere. It just seems to get into everything, doesn't it? But anyway, it was wonderful yesterday to celebrate the marriage of Ashley Holt to Nathan Manusi. And they had their wedding here and it was just beautiful. And I just want to say thanks and how grateful I am for this church building. How blessed we are to have this building. Many churches don't, and that's why other churches come here. And it's wonderful that we're able to share it with our sister churches and brothers and sisters. And so it was wonderful to have that wedding. But it was also thankful to the body for those who are happy to get in and serve and to do things even at the last minute. I'd just like to thank some people. And it's not a matter of ones being drawn out. It's those that knew that we're here. And I just want to thank my husband, obviously, for all that he did in setting up, and the couple were very pleased with that, for Kayleen also, and for Jeremy, faithful Jeremy, who's always here and always willing to come and do the music and the photos. What would we do without him? So I'm sure he's raising others up, but I think there'll always be one Jeremy. And also, I just want to thank, on the day, Karen and Sarah for the way they just jumped in. Karen came out and saw Carly and I overcome. There were far more people than we had originally expected, and Karen got in and helped us with the tea and coffee. And I was so thrilled to see... Oh, she's gone out, has she, Sarah? Okay. She got in there with the vacuum cleaner, as I said, because confetti gets everywhere and we had it everywhere. And she did a great job. Chloe and Brendan and Hayden and Serge and Gary. Gary got out there with his vacuum cleaner trying to suck it up, but unfortunately it had some rain on it and it wouldn't suck. So we're still cleaning up confetti, but I pray, we've got to get out there that it's all gone when Pastor Chris comes back, because he hates confetti. But anyway, we'll do our best to get it all the way. But just thank you and bless you for making it such a lovely day for this couple, and Nuala for the flowers. She always does such a beautiful job with the flowers, and it's lovely that you can call upon those when you need them. But this morning my heart's full of gratitude and praise, and the Lord really laid on my heart this message about how we need to have an attitude of gratitude. You know, we live in a world where there are so many things that disappoint us and we can get caught up in those things, but we need to be grateful, and grateful to people. And so this morning I'd like to call out Ronnie and Doris, Leonie and Daniel. Where's? Come out the front. Come on, come on, come on, come on. Paul and Jacinta, Singh, Antoinette and Joe Attard, Eula Clapsis, and of course Rachel and Serge are not here. That's the way. Get up and be familiar with the platform. It won't bite you. I just want you to see these people, and I just want to honour them. We have our grow groups every week. A lot of churches have fortnightly meetings. We have them every week. And we have some very faithful leaders that lead those studies. But today, I want us to see the faces of those who host those meetings. And if ever you've done that, you'll know the challenge that it is, that every week to have your home ready, to have your attitude ready, to have seats out, to have supper, to give, to give, to give, to give. And that's what these people have done. Ronnie and Doris, you've done it for many years. Joe and Antoinette for many years. And we just thank these people from the depths of her heart. Eula not only hosts it, but she leads it as well. And that's a big ask. But we just want you to know how thankful and grateful we are as a church body to you for the way in which you give. Paul and Jacinta had it in their home, and now they've moved house, and before they were even properly in, they were hosting it again. Rachel and Serge, who are on their way to Townsville for our granddaughter's 21st next week, they host young adults and lead it with Marsh. And Marsh, you'd better come up to represent the leaders of young adults. They have it in the home, but at Marsh runs that. And before that, Gadgen and Joyce hosted young adults for many years in their home and led it, right up until Joyce was due to have the baby. So we just want to applaud you. And thank you so much for your diligence and your giving hearts, because it's one thing to go somewhere, but it's another to open your home and extend that time. So, Father, we just thank you for these dear ones. We thank you for their heart, Lord, that is willing to serve you in this area that isn't always easy. But we pray that you would bless them abundantly, Lord, as they give of all that they have, Lord God, to open their homes in a welcoming way, to encourage others to come in and to learn and grow in your word and to have fellowship, Lord God, with one another. So we just thank you for them and bless them in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Thank you very much.
Sarah Grinch.
No.
The kids, they were cleaning outside this morning.
Gwinnett's just reminding me that the children were out there sweeping up the confetti this morning. I saw them as I came in, and the poor little things, they were sweeping it, and it was blowing back and sweeping it. That's what confetti does, unfortunately, but we just have to deal with it. Thankfully, it's being phased out, and they're getting into bubbles and things now. But anyway, probably could have been worse if it had been rice. That becomes more troublesome. Okay, so are you grateful this morning? Are you thankful? We have so much to be thankful for, don't we? But, you know, there are things that come into our lives and times where it's not always easy. It's easy to be grateful and thankful when everything's going well, when we come together like this and we can all, you know, sing and be happy and have the Spirit of God really stir our hearts. But there are times when things are not always like that. And this morning, I love David. Oh, I love much of the word, but I love David. And I love much of his writing. And, of course, as my husband says, he loves the Psalms. But this morning I want to read you a story that came to me quite a few weeks ago, actually, from 1 Samuel 30, verses 1 to 8. And it really, really stirred my heart, and I've really been praying about this for today. And it says in verse 1, David and his men reached Ziklag on the third day, and now the Amalekites had raided the Negev and Ziklag. They had attacked Ziklag and burned it, and had taken captive the women and everyone in it, both young and old. They killed some of them, but carried them off as they went on their way. Sorry, they killed none of them. But took them as they went on their way. When David and his men reached Ziklag, they found it destroyed by fire and their wives and sons and daughters taken captive. So David and his men wept aloud until they had no strength left in them to weep, as you can imagine. David's two wives had been captured, and Ahinon of Jezreel and Abigail, the widow of Nabal of Carmel. David was greatly distressed because the men were talking of stoning him. Each one was bitter in his spirit because of his sons and daughters. But David encouraged himself in the Lord. And then he said to Abiathar the priest, the son of Ahimelech, "Bring me the ephod." So he brought it to him, and David inquired of the Lord, "Shall I pursue this raiding party? Will I overtake them?" "Pursue them," he answered, which was the Lord answering. "You will certainly overtake them and succeed in the rescue." Now, what a picture. What a picture. David and his men had walked about 40 kilometres, 25 miles each day for 3 days to come home after a battle. And when they got home, they were just looking forward to seeing their wives and their children, having a meal prepared for them, the things that they would expect. As, you know, we go out sometimes and maybe do a hard day's work or something like that, but these men had been fighting. They'd been fighting to bring peace to their land and their people, and they come back and they're faced with this terrible, terrible thing. But the thing that struck me in this scripture and what I wanted to speak about is found in that scripture, is that in verse 6, but David encouraged himself in the Lord. Now, some of your versions might say found strength in the Lord, but David encouraged himself. And that's what I want to talk about this morning, about the example that David sets of encouragement. And see, we start this message too with the words that David was greatly distressed. And of course he would be. He would be greatly distressed and brokenhearted because everything he'd planned for was now destroyed. He'd just returned from Gath, where the king had said to him, "Thou art good in my sight, as an angel of God." He'd had praises, he'd had victories, and here he was coming back all full of that and so excited to be with those that he loved. And so David and his men had returned, as I said, and here they found this terrible disaster presented before them. What a horrible day in the life of this anointed man of God. And then David and the people that were with him lifted up their voices and they wept bitterly. Of course you would weep bitterly. When things come, it doesn't mean that we can just suddenly praise. God has made us real people. And he's given us tear ducts for a reason. He's given us emotions and feelings. And so we need to express them. And I love David because he was always free to express his emotions before God. You know, sometimes we get so caught up in feeling that we have to act a certain way, that we have to be a certain sort of people. God just wants you to be whom he made you to be. He wants you to be real. He's a real God to me. He wants me to be real to him, to tell him how I feel, to express those emotions to him. But then, as happens, these men had fought with David. They respected and honoured him. And now all of a sudden, everything had gone wrong and they wanted to raise up and stone him. They wanted to blame him. You took us out there away from our families. You took us into this battle. And now they're coming in, they want revenge. It's all your fault. Do you ever find times where you put your faith in people and they let you down? So often. And sometimes it can be those that we love the most. Sometimes it can be those that we put the most into and do the most for. And when things go wrong, particularly if they don't have that living faith, there's got to be someone to blame. And it's almost like their words stone you, or they pick up their words and it's like they want to hurl them at you. And words can be so powerful. Words can be so damaging. But you see, the Word of God calls our words to be life-giving. The Word of God calls our words to be encouraging, to be healing. And so I'm not going to speak on that today, but we need to watch our tongues. We need to watch what we say, but that comes out of what we think. Through the ladies this year, we've been just one scripture has taken us a couple of months about where Paul tells us that we are to take every argument and every thought captive to the power of Christ. And so we need to learn how to do those things. And so here it is that David didn't have a tear left to shed. He was greatly distressed. And now they come to the end of their rope. But what else could he do but swallow up his despair? Did this calamity fall upon David because he was living in sin? No. Was he running from God? Far from it. He was running to God. He was running to him, but not understanding this path that had come across him. We need to go back and remember the power and the anointing that was on David's life, that Samuel had already anointed David to be king over Israel. He was declared as a man after God's own heart, chosen, set apart to lead God's people. After a short time of acceptance in court, and a glorious ministry of victory upon victory, he was forced to escape for his life. We know that Saul became jealous of David and sought to kill him. The giant killer, the man who killed the giant, was forced to run and hide in caves like a fugitive. Tearfully, he had inquired of Jonathan, Saul's son, "Whatever have I done to deserve this? What is my iniquity?" In 1 Samuel 20, verse 1, he says, "And what is my sin that my life is threatened?" There was no sin on David's part, but there was sin on Saul's. It was called jealousy, and it's a very destructive thing. Really seek God to search your heart for jealousy, envy, pride. These things are malice and destructive. The king priest called David the most faithful servant in all the kingdom. Even Saul had recognized his anointing, saying in 1 Samuel 24, 17 and verse 20, "Thou art more righteous than I. I know well that the kingdom of Israel shall be established in thine hand." So Saul had said that with his mouth, but what was he thinking in his heart? Was there an attitude of gratitude to God for raising this young man up? Was there thankfulness that the kingdom was in safe hands? No, there was malice, there was guile, there was bitterness, and there was jealousy. When Samuel took the horn and anointed David, the Spirit of the Lord came upon him from that day forward. So we have to understand this to try and comprehend how David felt at this time. He'd experienced all of these things. He'd known the power, he'd known the anointing, he'd known the victory, he'd known the accolades and the praises, and he'd known the glory of God upon his life. And yet he remembered the things that he had had to go through. And now here, he was thinking that he'd come to this place of Ziklag where he could rest and have some time of peacefulness with his family and enjoy the things that we all want to enjoy. He knew that he was called and especially chosen and destined for the throne, and he had daily visitations from the Holy Spirit. He had cause to be full of zeal for the Lord and want to do everything that God had called him to do, to put in his hand. Think of what it must have been like to go through this time, and what must have gone through David's mind. As I said before, we don't always just accept things, and God doesn't expect that. The Bible says, Paul tells us much, that we have to learn, that we have to grow, and we grow as we meditate on the word, as we learn the word, as we read the before and after verses. We don't just grab the first verse. As I was saying last Thursday to the ladies, when we first become Christians, when we're baby Christians, we open up the word and it's just one scripture, one verse that we take and we hold on to, and that's wonderful. But as we grow, we need to read a chapter. We need to read the story. We need to read what it means, what it's building up to in this. And as I was saying on Thursday, that I remember when I was a very young Christian, there was this young man in our study group, and he'd been praying for a wife. He'd been praying and praying that God would give him a wife. And he came along one Sunday to church, and there was this new young lass there. And one of the elders went to introduce him to this young girl, and he said, "No, I'm waiting for grace." And he said to him, his name was Bill Atkinson, the elder, I'll never forget. And he looked and he said, "Oh, you've met someone." He said, "No, the word of God says, I've been seeking the word, and it said, my grace is sufficient for you." And so he was waiting, and it's a true story, he was waiting for grace. And so we can take the word of God out of context. We have to know and understand and allow the Holy Spirit to apply its meaning to us. And so we see here that David would have been saying in his heart, "Why, God, if you are with me, did Saul try to kill me? Why is this insanity and jealousy being poured over me? Why, if I've been anointed, did I have to escape to Gath and hide amongst caves? Why, if I'm a man after God's heart, did I have to live in the wilderness and now Why is this happening? Why, oh why? But after finally coming to terms, crying all he could cry, David came to the place of turning to God. Here he was, after finally finding this place, as I said, where he felt that he could enjoy some time with his family, this tragedy struck. He was no longer a giant killer. He was a man who was broken. He's no longer the mighty man of faith who was looked upon. David stands alone, stripped and confused, in total despair for the moment. For the moment. What does a child of God do when we're discouraged? You know, the enemy is always so quick. And thinking about our vision for the year, called to war, this is part of the battle. And part of our armour is gratitude. If you want to send the enemy into a spin, have the heart of thankfulness and gratitude. You see, he loves to come in, and he'd love to have stirred David's heart. And of course, he was thinking these things, so the enemy would have loved stirred that. Oh yes, David, you know, this God's failed you. Where is he when you need him? Have you ever been there? Because I have. The enemy will come in and say, this isn't what you bought. This isn't what you believe for. This isn't what was promised to you. Where is God now? Why isn't your God fulfilling what you want, what you desire? And so he'll spiral us down into this place called discouragement. And once we get into that pit of discouragement, we can't see anything else but doom and gloom, and then we lose all hope. And the Spirit of God is there trying to move in to speak to us. You see, we'll think these things with our mind, because that's where the enemy comes in. He can't come into our spirit, but he will come into your mind. And if you think long enough, a thought takes bed within, and then it becomes part of you. You know, it's a true thing how our mind can play havoc with us. If you get up in the morning and you're doing what you're doing, and someone says to you, oh gee, I thought you'd be really tired today after what you did last night or yesterday. And after a while, that thought starts to change, and you'll start to feel really tired. You know, oh, my legs are aching, oh, my back. And if you center on all of those things, you'll be in despair. Now, it doesn't mean you can't say, well, okay, I'm a bit tired, but God, I'm looking to you to renew my strength. That your joy is my strength, that I'm going to move in you. Get into the Holy Spirit, pray, speak in tongues, call the power of God upon your own life. And before long, you won't just be singing, you'll be just rejoicing. Amen. From your heart. Not just only in this place, on your own, in your own quiet little area. Your heart will soar, and you'll be filled with zeal and inspiration and power, because that's what the Spirit of God does. He comes to bring that to us. David was in this place. His beloved friend Jonathan was nowhere to be found. Jonathan would have at least come to bring words of encouragement. But you know, a friend or a loved one can bring words of encouragement, but they can't touch the deeper part of us. When we're feeling weary and struggling, our loved ones can come along, and that's very, very powerful. They can speak not only their love, but they can speak the word of God to encourage us. But unless we take that in, it's only just in our ears. We have to take it into our spirit and really know that it's not about what they're saying. They're reminding us of what God is saying to us. David's family were, his parents were away, far away. And so where would he go for comfort? Who else but his loving God? So when crisis come, we can do exactly what these people did. We can weep. And of course we'll weep. But you see, the Bible says, tears may endure the night, but joy comes in the morning. There is a time for all things, and there is a time to weep. And so we need to experience that weeping. But you know, I've found in the midst of my tears and my sorrows, as I weep, then the replenishing comes. As I empty out the emotion, the Spirit comes in and he stirs my heart. He lifts my heart. Do you know, God was doing a great thing in David. And also we see then that They became angry, not David, but the people. We need to guard our hearts that we don't start looking for blame. When things come into our lives, maybe it's not as bad as David, that he comes home and here he finds his home burnt and his wife and his children taken captive. But we can face things that to us can be dreadful. It can be the threat of our marriage breakup. It could be a friend that's departing from us. It can be a child that's raising up against us. It can be a parent who doesn't understand a child. It can be financial issues. It can be unexpected death to someone that we love. It can be unexpected illness. So many things in our life. Disappointments can come. Things that we feel that have failed us can come. People are not what we expect them to be. Do you know, I've learned, don't expect anything of anybody, even those nearest and dearest to you, because they will never live up to your expectations. My expectations are unrealistic. Nobody thinks what I'm thinking. Not that it means I'm always right, because I'm not. My thoughts can be wrong, and they'll do something different, and I'm all disappointed. We should never, ever, we don't have the right to have expectations. We have the right to encourage people. We have the right to expect the best of one another, but not have our expectations on them. Because a husband can never be exactly what a wife expects him to be. A wife will never be exactly what a husband expects her to be. Children will never exactly be what we expect them to be, but praise God, in God they can be better. They can be everything God wants them to be. But you see, if we get caught up in our expectations, we'll miss what God's doing. We won't see the beauty because we're so busy seeing they should be there. And when we see they're there, we're not looking to see the beauty and the grace and the godliness. And you see, just because we belong to each other, we're not all meant to be the same. Your children are not to be replicas of you. They are to be all God designed them to be. And so it's very, very important, because we see here that these people had expectations of David. And when they felt that he'd failed them, they've got to blame somebody. So now they're going to stone him. How horrific. And so David had this to contend with. So we need to guard our hearts from anger. So we need to take stock. When we've despaired and expressed our anger and blamed others, are we better off? No, we're worse off. I've seen people say, I'm going to get those people. And they're so driven with all of this anger and pain. And then when they do something, they feel sorry for it. Or they've said something, they feel sorry for it. But do they feel better? No, they feel worse. Words are not to help. Anger doesn't help. Frustration doesn't help. Blaming doesn't help. And that's why I want us to see in these passages the things that God led David to. Suppose they had picked up stones and killed David. That would have been terrible. Would it have made a difference? No. And then they've been crying because they didn't have a leader. Here we see David to begin to distinguish himself as being someone worthy of our attention. You see, in a crisis, we can all do things that these people did, or we can do what David did. David encouraged himself in the Lord. How did David encourage himself in the Lord? He strengthened himself. And it says in Ephesians 3:16 that God would grant you according to his riches of his glory to be strengthened with might by the Spirit in the inner man. And David was looking for God. And in Psalm 42:5 we see that David said, why, my soul, are you downcast? Why so disturbed within me? Put your hope in God, for I will yet praise him, my Saviour and my God. And so David put his hope and his trust in God, not just then, but he had a relationship. Do you have a real living relationship with God through Jesus Christ today? If you don't, I pray that you don't leave here without it. The only thing that will keep us, the only one that will keep us alive and well and standing and rejoicing and living life and enjoying life and seeing the full potential of life is the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. And his Holy Spirit that reveals to us the things of God. You know, I've said before, and I was thinking about it on Friday evening, Kayleen came up to clean the windows because she'd seen marks on them and she didn't want them to be smudgy. And you see, these things are done, and why I wanted to give thanks, and there are many of you that do many things, and we've at our Thanksgiving service we thank many, and at odd times we do thank people. But you see, this is the house that God has given us, and this is our representation to one another and the world. And what we presented yesterday was on behalf of the whole church to others who came in, and we wanted this place to be sparkling clean, to be beautiful, to be pleasant. And what a wonderful way to share in a wedding ceremony. And I was thinking, as Kayleen was cleaning the windows, you know, often people notice those things, a smudge that you might notice, someone will come in and they'll see that and they make judgment on it. But beyond that, I was thinking about, as I've said before, about the little spot. It may only be the size of a pinhead on a big window. Now, the window overlooks a beautiful, beautiful scene. And when we just look out the window, we see that scene. But, you know, if we concentrate on that little spot long enough, we'll only see the spot, we won't see beyond it. And sadly, that's how so many live their lives. They concentrate on the spot. They concentrate on the negative and never look out to the beauty. They don't look beyond. And you see, that's the work of the Holy Spirit, to lift us, that we see beyond the problems, we see beyond the spots and the things that try to disfigure, and see the beauty that God has for each one of us. There was no doubt about it. God wanted to give David the kingdom. He was about to settle in Ziklag, but in no way could God permit him to settle down in a place that depended on the flesh for survival. Do you know that in your circumstances, in your trials and difficulties, as Christians, if we don't know how to praise God and be grateful in those things, God will not move us on to the next thing. God doesn't want us to settle for second best. He doesn't want us to look for things of the flesh or things of materialism to be our joy and our future. You see, if we get too comfortable in those places, if we start to adore the things that we have, God will just shift us or tip us or bring change. It's like a pool that seems perfect and suddenly God puts his finger in the middle of it and causes ripples. He's not trying to do that to harm us. He's trying to grow us. He wants us to be beyond those things. He wants us to be stirred up in our spirit. He wants us to be overcoming, fighting the good fight of faith. He wants us to be ready with a word in season. He wants us to be ready in a word out of season. When things are going wrong, he wants us to be strong. He's not about making us content and happy. He's about making us strong and authoritative and victorious in all of his things. Amen. And so God was not prepared to allow David to become settled. David in his heart could have become weary of the struggle and the battles and the hardships. Was he thinking he'd earned a right to an easier life? I know what that's like. There are times when my flesh says, okay, Pat, you know, it's about time you sat back. Sit back from what? Life? Of course not. Of course not. We can only be who God's created us to be. You know, I hear people saying, don't do this, don't do that. The thing is, that's my heart to do those things. God has given us all a mind and he's given us common sense. Now, there are things I would love to. I was looking at the kids yesterday, just stepping up on that platform in one step, and Sarah's just so light and flits around and runs around. I used to be able to do that. I can't do that now, but I can still walk. I can still get up on the platform. It may not look as attractive, but I can get up there. And I thank God that I can do that. And so we have to be thankful for what we can do. And so this morning Marsh said, "Don't you lift that." I said, "It's okay, Marsh. That's within my realm. I was born tough." And so we need to be able to do what we can do, but we need to know the things that we can't do. But if we just sort of sit back, and you know, we live in a world today where retirement is the big word, that you suddenly retire when you get to a certain age. Age is not meant to determine what we do. The Lord is, and our relationship with Him. I know someone who's retired, and now they don't know what to do with themselves. Thankfully, they're looking for something, but some people just retire and give up on life. That's not what God intends. Life is to be lived. And you see, it's the Spirit that gives us life. If we're waiting on our flesh, we'll tire quickly. It's the Spirit within us that stirs us to life. And we all have a voice, and that never retires. And the Spirit of God never retires, so we've always got a word or an encouragement to bring to somebody. And we need to be using and sharpening those things, because we are in a battle. But the greatest battle is against our flesh. It's against our own thoughts. It's against our own inability to move forward. It's against our own apathy at times and our own ingratitude. Part of the weapons of our warfare is gratitude. It's thanksgiving, it's praise to God in all things. What a victorious sight, David standing among the ruins of life, rejoicing in God's faithfulness and encouraging himself in the presence of God. Is that awesome? In the midst of these ruins, in the midst of the heartache of his family being gone, but the promise of God, pursue them and you will succeed. God restored to David everything. He came to see that all that really counts in the face of death and despair is a personal knowledge of God. You know, we had the sad thing of attending John, our brother-in-law's funeral service. John took most of that service. We don't know where he stood. We'd spoken to Carl about the things of God, but we don't know. And that was the question. We have to distrust God, but it's sad when we see those who live a life of despair and then end their life in despair. We need to be in an attitude of gratitude, of thankfulness to God, so that we're always praising Him and allowing His Spirit to bring life to us that we can impart to others. God opened the heavens and spoke to David. Directions came loud and clear. David inquired and God answered. There was nothing lacking. David recovered all. From then on, David could look back and boast in the Lord. In Psalm 138, verse 3, "In the day when I cried, you answered me and strengthened me with the strength in my soul." We need to look back and see the times that God has been faithful and strengthened us. We need to be encouraged that as we live day to day, that as God was with me yesterday, He will be with me forever. We're living in a day where we see many, many Christians who are tossed about with every wind of doctrine, everything that comes, every new idea. You know where we really stand when we're people that just go down the street to buy three things and we come home with 24. Why do we come home with 24? Because the sign dazzles our eyes. Sale, buy two and get one free. My husband gets so upset because we go shopping and we want one thing and it's three for $6. We don't want three, we want one. And so we get caught up, so we bring three home and then we stick the others to the back of the cupboard and forget they're there, and in another month we want another three. And so we're dazzled with the signs of life, and it can be the same with relationships. When everything's going well and everybody's loving us, and they don't always love us. We can tread on people's feet or they can get out of bed in a bad way and we cop the flak. But you see, if we allow ourselves to be drawn by that, we'll be of all men and women most miserable. We need to be looking at God. And you see, as we have an attitude of gratitude, when someone comes like that, it stings, but then we can think, okay, that's not about me, that's where they are, I've got to leave it there. And we've got to try and resolve those things. God wants us to draw our strength in the inner man. As Gladys shared this morning, we've gone through the worshipper's way again. If you haven't done it, next time it comes around, I urge you, not because I lead it, but because Pastor Chris has written those notes and they are excellent. And we all need to know and understand everything we can. And not that that course fills everything, but it gives you a great insight into the power of the working of the Holy Spirit. And so David strengthened himself in the Lord. How did David seek God's guidance? He turned towards him. So when you're in a time of despair, when you're in a time of discouragement and disappointment, when people fail you, where do you turn? To yourself? Pity me? Do you go and crawl up on your bed and just want to die? Or do you seek the Lord? And you see, it's not a natural thing of our flesh to seek the Lord, as I said before. It's only as we have this word hidden in our hearts, it's only as we have this ongoing living relationship with the Lord, that the Spirit of God will have that freedom to be able to come and say, come on, Pat, what are you doing here? I'm where you'll find your strength. I'm where you'll find your purpose. I am where you can overcome. You can't overcome in your own strength. You can only be strong. The battle belongs to the Lord, and he will fight it for us, but he wants us to be on board with him. We have before us a Bible filled with glorious truth about God's dominion and his fullness that is invested in us through Jesus Christ. As we look this morning, we see that the word declares Christ's victory, his glory, his absolute power and authority. And Ephesians 1:17-19 says, and I love this scripture, it's one of my very favourites, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation of the knowledge of him, that the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of his calling, and what are the riches of his glory, of his inheritance in the saints, and what is the exceeding greatness of his power toward us who believe, according to the working of his mighty power that works within us. My words. How awesome. There is everything in there. If ever you're feeling discouraged, if ever you're feeling miserable, look at this. Folks, think about what God's called you to invest in. He's called you to invest in him because he's totally invested in you. And then if you see things through him, believe me, ladies, your husbands will be just wonderful. You will look at your husband and you will have a new love for him, a new appreciation for him. Yes, look at each other and be appreciative. Be thankful for the man that you have called to stand alongside of you. He's not perfect, but hey, you know what? Neither are you. None of us are perfect. But you see, it starts with thankfulness and gratitude, and then God will open up the things that you will start to see. Because when we become ungrateful, when we get into this stuck place, we only see the negatives. And yes, they're there, but they'll come out to us like neon signs. Whereas when we begin to be grateful, when we begin to appreciate, we look and we can say to this man, I love you. I love you. Not with a flesh, not with just an emotion, but with a love that is set for the end, a love that is unconditional, a love that is strong, a love that is committed. That's the love that we need to grow on. And I'm not letting you out of it, men. You need to look at your wives and thank God for them and say, thank you, Lord, for this woman that you have given me to stand alongside me, to walk hand in hand with me, to break through things with me, and to be grateful for her. As with our children, you know, you might have wanted a blonde and you got someone with black hair. Well, who cares? It's a child. It's a living child, a life. Maybe their eyes are blue and you wanted brown. Be thankful for these children. Be thankful for what God shows you in them. Maybe they don't walk like you want or they don't talk like you want, but they're yours. They're God's gift to you. Be grateful. Be thankful for them and God will bless you. I believe we desperately need a new and a liberating revelation of the riches of Christ, the glory of Christ, the greatness of his power and the absolute dominion over all. that we would stand and acknowledge those things and be grateful and be thankful. And as I said before, remember, I believe with all my heart that if you settle in a place and if you are not grateful, God will not take you out of there. God is wanting us to move forward. And he doesn't want to push us. The same with our children. We want to encourage them, train them, teach them. We want them to see they want that. That's what God wants with us. And he's given us his Spirit to enable us to do that. We've been given everything. When I woke up this morning, as with every morning, I not only thank God for his presence, but I thank God for my bed. And some mornings I say, I'll be back. I'll be back. You know when you're feeling a bit weary and you're just not ready to get up? I'll be back. And I know that bed is there waiting for me. Waiting. Do you know, I think about, I was saying to John the other night, we were looking at the TV, one of these terrible news things, and I said, how thankful we should be to be born in this country. Do you know, God could have brought us to be born anywhere. I mean, firstly, we need to thank him for his life, but then thank him that we're born here. We don't know anything about struggle and trial like some countries. Eula's going back to Greece. That country's been tipped upside down, but there are even worse places. There are third world countries where you see little children digging in bins and there are little girls being taken out and sold for prostitution and things that we can't even comprehend. And we look at the news and we say, oh, and then we turn. Pray for those things when you see them. Stand in your place and thank God for where you are, but pray that God will bring blessing and healing and restoration to those places, because that's God's will. And there are many people that don't have a comfortable bed like I have and you have, that are out there ministering in these places, young men and women, older men and women, doing tremendous work in these places. Lift them up and pray for them. When you're feeling miserable, be thankful and pray. But it's not, our praise will only be lifted as we're grateful, as we have that thankful attitude to God and allow his Spirit to surge within us. We need to remind one another, even over lunch, don't talk about lots of things. Bless one another. Encourage one another to remember the blessings that we have, the wonderful blessings. You know, you hear people say, oh, my hair's going grey. And then someone else will say, well, be thankful you've got hair. You know, there are all so many things. In fact, I heard on the radio the other day, they say, man, they're all into Beatle, and I'm going to finish. They are into Beatlemania at the moment at so many years celebration. And this man on the radio said that he happened to be in the city somewhere where the Beatles came, and he bought one of their masks. And he said, if only I'd kept it, it would be worth a lot of money now. But he said, not only that, I could put it on over this. I haven't got any hair, and they've all still got hair. And so we need to be thankful and grateful. You need to count your blessings. Have you counted your blessings today? You know, just a sobering thought to finish. If you only had, when you woke up this morning, what you blessed God for yesterday, what would you have? Just think about it. If you only woke up, when you woke up this morning, if you only had what you blessed God for yesterday, what you were grateful for yesterday, would you have much? Many people wouldn't. We need to be mindful, and we never know what a day will bring. We need to count our blessings. We need to encourage ourselves in the Lord and give thanks to him for all things. All things, because he is in all things, and we need to be ever grateful. Father God, we just bless you and thank you for your word today. We thank you that your word is truth and will set us free, Lord God. Father, it is not the vessel, it is the word, Lord God, your word that speaks through the power of your Spirit to the hearts of each one. Father, I pray that you would lift hearts this morning, Father, to be forever grateful, to be ever thankful, Lord, for this life that we have been given, this life that you have given us. Lord, you have breathed the breath of life into us. For what more could we want? And then you ask us to follow your Spirit in living that life, that we might know what it means to overcome in all things through your strength and your power. For unto him who is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that you could ask or think, according to his mighty power within you, we just praise you and thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.